the second chakra has an ability, we have, use it to make things real. And to do this, we use its capacity to create sensation inside of us. Think of your second chakra as a great receiver of vibration, simply vibration. Everything in this room vibrates. If you listen to the sound system, it's just a good oral example of it. You can hear that vibration. It's high enough to hear it, that hum. Your second chakra is receiving that hum on a vibrational level. This waveform is literally going into your second chakra. Now, the second chakra in its most pristine state says, here's a vibration, proximate pitch of C, and that's about it. It tells you that something is vibrating, you know, if you're sitting in the middle of the room about 20 feet off to your right. The second chakra in its original form, if you want to think of it in our primitive ancestors, was something that told them what was going on around them. It worked with the first chakra in terms of survival. So if I'm sitting quietly here in the bushes and I'm waiting for, you know, some particular prey animal to pass by, it's good to have a mechanism that if, you know, some 20 feet away there's this lion sitting there looking at me like, dinner, that I feel that vibration. Now, I want to note, not that I feel particularly scared, oh my God, there's something out there, but simply a vibration that I've learned to say, oh, lion, oh, prey species, something that desires to eat me. The second chakra, I would suggest to you, in its original function, was a way in which human beings kept a true sense, if you will, a sixth sense that they used to perceive their world, what was around them. It survives in some of you in what's called instinct. So it survives in some of you in that you're driving down the freeway and the person in front of you all of a sudden puts on their brakes and they're like, you know, that great fear we all have, stopping in the middle of the freeway. I don't know about most of you, but one of the great fears I have is, you know, the freeway is this great flow of energy. And all of a sudden, you ever notice, you know, you're whipping along at 75, 80 miles an hour, and there's this, all of a sudden, brake lights. It's very frightening. Every sudden, everything's going, it has to stop. Your instinct, so you feel, you're looking and you have a choice. You either stop real quick, because in your lane that you have to stop, or you pull into another lane where, there's, say, there's more room. Your instinct's that part of you that says, just as you're about to just whip off to the left, don't do that. You feel something is there. You know, and then you look and this semi comes driving by you. Your second chakra, in its real basic state, simply tells you something is there, gives you the vibration that says something is there. You're driving down a street. I have it as a, from a child, I'm driving down the street, if there's a policeman hiding on a side street, there's a part of me that just goes, policeman, side street, vibration. There's a certain vibration that policemen have that I've learned to discern over the years. The second chakra, in other words, in its most basic form, allows you to receive the vibrations of the entire universe around you, not just animate objects, but inanimate objects as well. Many people who are good at dealing with stones, for example, you know, looking at crystals and what have you, have a second chakra that simply is able to perceive the basic vibration of a stone and to, using their experience, say, okay, this vibration can benefit one particular chakra or another or a particular kind of illness, etc. To the person with the open second chakra, the whole world constantly hums, vibrates, literally. It's a constant vibration. People with open second chakras are therefore oftentimes very, very particular about where they sit, for example. if you have an open second chakra, and say I'm the kind of person that inside of me, I'm always, my energy is like pop, 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 pop. It's always moving around. Even though I'm sitting still, I'm saying, oh, what's that person over there doing? And how about over here? What is this person doing? Oh, I like that person. She's cute. How about this guy over here? What the hell is he? Is he gay or what? I don't know. You know, you've got these kind of vibrations going on inside of you. The open second chakra person sitting next to you is going to feel like, I can't settle down. Because it's like taking a whole bunch of musical tones and playing them all at once all around you. It's like, it can feel very just like, I can't relax. If relaxation for you comes when you absence yourself from human company and you go and sit by yourself or you go out in the woods somewhere, I would suggest that you have an open second chakra. Second chakra takes in the vibration of everything around it. It has to know about everything. It is one of our first basic curiosity chakras. Most people don't think of it that way. They think of the mind as the curious place. Your second chakra is that part of you that wants to know on a vibrational, very basic, physically present level, what is around you? What is this room full of people like? A second chakra person that walks into a room like this is immediately bombarded with sensations. All of you are very different. If you think of each of you having a musical tone, the second chakra person walking in this room is greeted with a cacophony of sound. Now, some are very, and now here it comes down to your personal experience, some people like that. It's like, it's a party! And they're happy. They walk right in. And some people, it's like, oh my God, what a frightening place. All these sounds. Open second chakra people many times like church, because people go to church and sit and try to be quiet, and they try to focus away from their emotions and onto higher planes. They pray. And so a lot of times second chakra people are attracted to churches just for the quiet, just for the quiet. Second chakra presents a real interesting conundrum for human beings. As I said earlier, it's part of what makes things real. Your experience, the physical experience of something, its vibrational experience, makes you say, I've had an experience. And so an expanded second chakra means your experience expands. However, it's very easy for the second chakra, because it is, I would suggest to you, along with the seventh chakra, it's one of the most expansive chakras you have. It's easy for the second chakra just to keep expanding itself. And thus for the input that comes into the second chakra to become greater and greater and greater, until finally your own particular vibration gets lost. And so it's easy for the second chakra person to become really overwhelmed by a situation. And so when we're working with our second chakra, remember, we're always working, trying to find a balance between a chakra that gives us an experience of life that is full, but not so full as if it confuses us. Not so full as if it confuses us. Open second chakra, when it's in the woods, for example, feels the vibrations of the trees, the animals, the plants. Now, here comes the tricky part. Second chakra also has to do with our emotions, our emotional center. Now, I've been talking about vibration up until this time. Just a particular vibration, just as we would in music. C is a certain vibration, D is a certain vibration. But most of us experience our second chakra not in that instinctual way of, oh, I feel the vibration of someone over here. We experience it as the emotional, an emotional center. I want you to, I want you just to think of this, because it's an important part of the second chakra. The second chakra contains a whole mechanism of energy forms that give these vibrations around us an emotional meaning. So, for example, if you are sitting in the woods, say you're meditating in the woods, you go deep in the woods, and you're trying to meditate, and you feel this vibration of great sadness. And you say, well, you look around you, and you might look at the trees around you and say, the trees are sad. The trees are sad. Now, brings an interesting question, what I ask you to think of. Are the trees sad, or do you interpret the vibration that the trees have as sad? For example, say you're in an old growth forest where there's a lot of, where a lot of the trees, they're old, so they're breaking down, they're decaying. They're slowly dying, in other words. Now, trees have a lifespan. They grow, they come to a certain point, they start to break down, they go back into the soil, they nourish it, more trees come up. It's a cycle. It's not something particularly emotional. In fact, it's a very well-connected little piece of energy work. Human beings, however, dying to us is sad. People dying is sad. So if I sit in a grove of trees, and the grove of trees is, a lot of them are dying or slowly degenerating, it's very possible for me to feel the vibration of the trees, which just says the life cycle is going on, we're now in the decomposition part of our life cycle, to feel that, and to take that vibration and say, in order to give it meaning, I project upon it my idea of what decay is about. And to me, it means death, and death is sad. So the trees are sad. Now, are the trees sad? Trees are simply trees. But your second chakra is going to attribute a certain emotional quality to them. If you think of places that you like to go and be in, you say, it just makes me happy to be by the ocean, for example. I like being by the ocean. So being by the ocean makes me happy. Some people find the emotion, the ocean very emotional. They say, it makes me very sad to be by the ocean, especially Northern California. It's foggy, it's cold, you walk along the ocean. People say, how can you stand that? I love it. I find it's great. Because there's a vibration in me that just that interprets that as this is a place of rest, of contemplation. It's cool. It's gray. So you got to figure for someone like me, I tend to run hot. My body tends to run hot. So any place that it's cool and gray and wet, someone that's hot and dry really enjoys that. Hey, it's hot and dry. Now, if you have a nature that's much more wet, if you will, being at the ocean just gives you more of what you already have. You might find it really annoying. There's a whole interpretive structure, in other words, in your second chakra. And it's this interpretive structure that oftentimes keeps us from using our instincts, because instead of just feeling a vibration as it is and saying, and learning to say, oh, that vibration is a vibration of a tree or a person or what have you, we say, that vibration is sadness, that vibration is happiness. And all of this comes from our experience. The second chakra, then, is important for establishing a certain emotional identity. Okay? Remember, we talked about the first chakra, and we talked about identity as well. The second chakra works in with that. First chakra says identity comes from where you live, what race you are, what gender you are, what your job is, who your family is. All these real strong physical structures. The second chakra says your identity is also, is the first place where you, there's a chakra that says your identity is non-physical too. It's emotional as well. So within my identity, my experience says there are certain things, emotions that are appropriate to be, say, directed towards me, and certain ones that are not. So most of us, and I only say most of us because there are people that are different, most of us say, it's not good to be angry at me. Why should you be angry at me? I always try to be a good, nice person. I try to treat everyone fairly. So if you're angry to me, you violate a certain boundary, my second chakra states. And so if you are sending me an energy that's not appropriate, my second chakra is going to send out an energy that blocks it at a certain point. It blocks it. It's going to push it away. My second chakra decides, and to finish that thought a little more, so around certain people, I would feel that, say, I'm in a little egg because I'm not, you know, I don't accept people being angry at me, so whenever I'm in a situation where people are angry, say, for example, I have to put out this blockage. This isn't me. They're obviously, if they're angry at somebody, it's not me. Here's this little egg around me. I feel like I'm in a little shell. The second chakra decides what is inappropriate and what's appropriate. So if I'm around people and they're all very happy to see me, happiness is good, maybe, in my way of doing things. So I let this in. I feel open. My second chakra feels real open around you. You ever hear someone say that? What that usually means is the emotions you send me are the emotions I feel are appropriate to the kind of person I am, to my identity. So my identity is I'm a person who's always trying to be sensitive to other people. And so therefore, you seem to acknowledge that by sending me a loving energy, by sending me a happy energy. And so you acknowledge, you support my identity. So therefore, my second chakra is open to you. It's always good to watch people that you feel that you're making an emotional barrier to. Because what is happening there is they're sending you some emotion which you think is entirely inappropriate to your identity. And the second chakra contains the mechanisms that say what is appropriate and what isn't. It gets these ideas from your sixth chakra, which contains your memories of who you are, what you've been, your karma of what you deserve. And the first chakra, which says certain things are important for survival. So say the first chakra says, people being angry at you. Someone's angry at you, no good. Sixth chakra says, correct. People that are angry at you in the past have tended to kill you. Ugh. Okay. So we accept no anger here. And so you find people that literally you can be ready to strangle them and they have no concept of it. They walk around like, oh, da, da. And finally you say, I'd like to talk to you. I'm really angry at you. Really? Yes, I feel like strangling you. Really? Well, you can have a certain barrier that says, my identity is such that I'm not someone anyone would be angry at. I can't accept anger because anger is something that is threatening to me. I don't accept it as part of my identity. Now, some people will go the other way and they'll say, since anger is something that is, you know, say, killed me in the past, or hatred, the feeling of hatred, I'm going to make damn sure that if I feel that around me, I'm going to react to it. So your second chakra may create a boundary that whenever, say, a feeling of hatred comes up to that boundary, you go into an attack mode. You go into a mode that immediately starts to defend yourself. So the boundary your second chakra makes can have all sorts of things. It can be like an electric fence, or it can be like this huge high stone wall that just says simply, I don't know what goes on the other side of the wall and I don't care. I always find that people that like big high fences usually have an open second chakra. They usually like that, you know, because it's like they have a certain sense of a domain and they take that idea of I don't want to know what goes on outside of this. I'm a good person, and my little world should stand as it is. And if you're angry about it, you don't like it, you know what? I don't want to hear about it. You're on the other side of the fence over there. You can see that the second chakra, because it can have that nature, can be very conducive to a person living, as we say, in their own little world. This is something that comes when you have a very well-defended second chakra area. And here's a point I want to make to you. We have this idea that someone with an open second chakra is someone that is very emotionally expressive or very emotionally revealing. That's not so at all. They can be any different way. Expression of emotion comes from the fifth and the third chakra. It really, the second chakra, its whole business of the second chakra is to simply say to you, something's there. You can call that something an angry something, a happy something, whatever it is, but something's there. Deal with it. The expression of this emotion is real different. It's a fifth chakra function. It's a third chakra function. Some people with very open second chakras are extremely quiet. You never hear a peep emotion out of them. You never hear an emotion out of them. So just because in high school, they'd say somebody was a wallflower, and that meant that they weren't really emotionally responsive. Well, that may be true in terms of reacting to people, but it doesn't mean that there's not a whole emotional world that's going on inside of that person. So they're perhaps reading, you know, romance novels and going, oh, boy, this is exciting. You know, a lot of people that are readers, for example, you know, have this energy of living in their own little world. They have the emotions. They open the book and they go through all the emotions of the book. They have a certain area that they feel emotion in. In other words, they have the book. The book controls. They have a control of their emotion. And so they feel emotions very deeply, but they're not expressing them. This is something that comes from an open second chakra. In other words, open second chakra people aren't necessarily, you know, overflowing and brimming with emotions. They're not always laughing and joking. In fact, many times they're just the opposite. And you can understand why. If when your second chakra is open, the whole world pours into it, every vibration around you, all the emotions of everybody around you. If you have an open second chakra and you're a little child, it's quite... Sometimes you see little kids that run around and they're just running around and not exactly screaming like they're in pain, but they're just running around like banshees, essentially, you know, and running into things and singing songs at the top of their lungs and all. A lot of times, this is just like we have an open second chakra going here. Your second chakra has the ability to simply touch in with everything around it, and so it can be a very confusing thing. Which way do you go? Sometimes children seem unfocused because if they're surrounded by adults with a lot of emotional issues, the kids just react one to the other. Whatever, they're always under the influence of the emotions around them. So that's really difficult to settle down. And if around you, all the adults around you seem to value the idea of settling down, of you being quiet, quote-unquote good, which means you don't all of a sudden break out in song at the dinner table. I always like that in restaurants. One of the things I enjoy about children is like, you'll see a kid and they're sitting there quietly, and then all of a sudden you see over their face there's this energy that comes over them, and you can see they're happy. They've received some happy vibration from somewhere. So they just break out in some kind of song, you know, whatever it is. Sometimes it's like a commercial jingle. Sometimes it's something like they sing with their mom or dad. And they do it like in the middle of like a very shishi restaurant somewhere. And it always cracks me up because they're so in the joy of that moment of, oh, I'm singing and I'm happy. And, you know, and they have parents that are looking at them like, we are mortified. We are embarrassed. We're embarrassed by your second chakra. Well, you know, kids are survivalists. They want to live. And so basically they figure out pretty soon that if this second chakra is causing so much trouble, if it's making their parents feel mortified, or at worst it's making them get spanked or yelled at or something, pretty soon they learn a certain set of rules. What emotions are, as we say, appropriate, and what are not appropriate. So just as we determine the second chakra has mechanisms that say what emotions are appropriate coming into us, it also has structures that say what emotions are appropriate coming out of us, and sometimes even the direct feeling of the emotions. So in other words, children learn to control the expressive areas of the emotion, the fifth, the third chakra, and some of them even learn to block out emotions on the second chakra level. So, for example, sensuality and the sexual feelings that go with it, the idea of a pleasure from another person. So, if this is something that brings you a lot of punishment, if you've been someone who, you know, as the children open, they oftentimes, you know, they test out their sensuality. So they like a lot of times to be hugged or to hold hands or to, like, you know, dance with someone or something. If someone takes that and then, say, abuses them and uses them sexually, hurts them, you know, it's very easy for the child to say, oh, this is something that really threatens the whole energy system. This has brought me great pain. And just to say, so sensual feelings, click, turn off, don't want to feel those at all. And just to turn off, to turn off the entire mechanism in the second chakra that will respond to what we would consider sensuality, pleasure, physical pleasure. And once that's turned off, it's very, very hard to turn back on. Those of you that do work with children that have had abuse and what have you, it's very, very hard to turn it back on. Because the second chakra brings reality home to us with a big bang. The second chakra, whatever comes into it, it's the chakra that most people can identify with, because you can feel it. So when you focus down here a couple inches below your navel, and you focus down there, and there's this feeling of, all of a sudden you get this feeling of nausea, well, most people can relate to that. It's a much different energy than the sixth chakra. You can focus on your sixth chakra sometimes for hours, and all that seems to be up there is nothing. Air. It's like, you say, gee, focus on the second chakra. Most people will get some kind of response, feel some kind of response. Remember that the second chakra contains the boundaries that we make for our emotions, what is appropriate coming into us, appropriate coming out of us. Any time that this emotional center, the second chakra, is something that's used to hurt a child, basically, children will just shut down mechanisms, as I've said before, that feel certain energies. They'll just shut it down because it doesn't, it's not of value to them. It's not of value to them. It threatens their existence. Look at the second chakra again for a minute. The second chakra, because it has the ability to feel vibrations, it also has an ability to literally, you might say, the best metaphor I can think of is it allows you to try on vibrations for size. In other words, the second chakra allows you to mimic the vibration that's outside of you. You see this in kids when they imitate other people. Sometimes kids are the worst because you watch them imitating you. I watched my little nephew imitating something I was doing. And boy, it was a real dead-on impression. Not so much the voice, but the energy that I was putting out when I was saying, you know, if you don't do this, this is going to happen to you. And it was, I was watching, he was doing it for his father or something. And it was hilarious to me, but it was truly, he took it from his second chakra. He just took it right in. Children can mimic things very easily. Children, a lot of times, not always, but many times, if you allow a child to have an open second chakra, you have a very playful child because the child can take on roles very easily. And you can see this in learning, why this is important for us as entities in learning. You know, you see an adult that you admire. Your second chakra allows you to take in the whole vibration of that adult and mimic it in some ways. You see kids oftentimes imitating their moms and dads really directly. You know, You see them, you know, sometimes you see this little kid, like, you know, working, you know, working in a garden or doing some kind of work outside the front of their house, and it looks like this little old man doing it. And it's like, geez. And then you see the father, and they both got the, they all walk the same way, and they got the, you know, if the old man is real stiff, you know, in his shoulders, the kid's carrying his shoulders real stiff, you know. It's real fun to see it. Well, it's just this mimicking. The second chakra has a real strong mimic quality. It will mimic what is around it. And this mimic energy is a way children have of learning about what's possible for them. For adults, we generally use it as a way of trying to understand what's around us. For example, I'm sitting in a room here and say, you know, I'm looking around and there's a, I see this person looking at me. You ever notice like somebody's like looking at you like you're eating in a restaurant and you feel like somebody's looking at you and you feel a vibration from them and you look. Just as you look, you see somebody averting their eyes. That always tells you that they're looking at you. So you're picking up their vibration on an energy level. Now, most of us are curious. Why is this person looking at me? Now, an open, if your second chakra and it's in a real pristine state, your second chakra will tell you. You'll pick up the vibration that is being sent to you. Like, gee, what an ugly shirt. Or, you know, or a lot of times it's simply, gee, what is that person eating? That looks good. It looks better than what I have on my plate. You know, it can be all sorts of innocent things, but what we do is we feel the vibration, we don't know what it means, and so we go into our little file in the sixth chakra and we say, well, if I was having this vibration, in other words, the second chakra has this mimic function. It says, okay, now I'm pretending that I'm that person sitting over there looking at me. And if I was that person looking at me, this vibration would mean, and then you give a definition to it. You would think this is projection, but the second chakra really doesn't project it. It simply, literally, it tries it on inside. It's not exactly projecting, although you would say the sixth chakra projects this idea of the other person, but the second chakra really simply is taking on that vibration, and it's like a piece of clothing. It says, okay, put it on. How do you look in this green blazer over here? And you look at it, and you say, well, if I was wearing this green blazer, I would feel like I was a real idiot. You know, and so we do this, people do this a lot of times, the couples will do this in that they'll look at other couples and they'll look at the vibration and they'll try on the vibration and say, well, if we had that vibration, I'm glad we don't have that vibration. That's what most big couples will say. I'm glad we don't have that vibration. Well, this may be a very good vibration for these two people. But we don't know, if we don't know, we tend to apply our own definition. And the second chakra, with its mimic function, you can see on one hand it helps us to try on or literally experience, be able to experience what it's like to be another person, but we generally tend to lose that after a while as we get older, and it generally becomes a way that we have of making, trying to project our own world into the world of another person. If you have an open second chakra, you need to watch this mimic quality because these kinds of problems will happen. You have an open second chakra, and I look at that open second chakra and I say, wow, I love you. So I send you out this vibration, and the vibration may say, I love you, I want to care for you, make love to you, whatever, and it goes out to you. If you have a particularly open second chakra, the first response to that second chakra is to take in the vibration and to literally take on the energy, you know, to let the energy I'm sending you become your energy. So all of a sudden, you look at me and you say, oh, I love him. I want to take care of him. I want to do this and that. This is, if you have an open second chakra, this is a problem. You notice that as long as this, and this is usually comes from what's called a second chakra cord. In other words, when someone makes an energy connection to you very deliberately from their second chakra to yours, they can literally pour into you the image of you that they believe in. And if you accept it, then you start living the life of their, you might say, their fantasy. And this can become, this is why sometimes you have relationships where you get together with somebody and it seems like, whoa, hallelujah, this is great, wow, wonderful. And then all of a sudden everything just goes kapoof. And you say, what was that? I don't love this person. Who the hell is that? Oh. Second chakra is very seductive, especially if I'm that dissatisfied with my life, for example, and you project into me the image that says, you're the most wonderful person in the world on a vibrational level. What am I going to do? If I'm going to sit here and say, I can sit here and be miserable, or I can be with so-and-so and be the greatest guy in the world. Hey, hey, you're my savior. You're my healer. You make me feel so good about myself until something comes along that tells me, you know, you really don't feel that way about yourself. That person loves you. Do you actually love that person? This is a question I ask people when they're confused a lot about, is this the right person for me? And most of the time it's the second chakra person that asks that question, someone who's open second chakra, because open second chakra just simply resonates energy being sent to you. Sometimes if the energy, if someone's putting a big enough rush on you, in other words, and sending you a constant energy that says, you're the one, I love you, you're my soulmate, you're everything I've ever desired, it's very easy just to say, hey, yeah, I am the soulmate, I'm everything you ever desired, that's great, and I feel the same way about you. It's very easy to feel that way. But when something all of a sudden happens, usually these relationships all of a sudden just go pop and they'll end. And it's hard when you've had those kind of relationships. I just want you to think, a lot of times it comes from simply having an open second chakra. It's, in other words, it's easy to fall in love with someone loving you. Not to fall in love with that person, but particularly the image that that person puts out of you. It's very, very easy if you have an open second chakra to do that. People with open second chakras can also, one sign of it that you have an open second chakra is that you can get along with all different kinds of people. In other words, if you look around and your friends are really diverse, you know, like part of your friends are these bohemian types that drink their espresso black and, you know, recite poetry and, you know, in coffee houses, and another set of your friends, you know, is into playing racquetball and what have you, and another set, you know, if it goes on. If you have this great circle of friends like that, you probably have an open second chakra, because open second chakra says, okay, so we're in the group of people that love opera. I love opera. Hey, you can fit in real easily. Second chakra people can be extremely good mixers, extremely good social people, because they go into a situation, if they're not afraid of their second chakra, they can assess what the vibration of the room is and be that. Hey, it's party time, okay, and you go in there. It's not always so. As I say, sometimes open second chakras can walk into a room, say, oh my God, this is so overwhelming, and run out. And so I want you to see that when you think of the second chakra, think of extremes. You can have extremely social people. You can have, most hermits that I have met have extremely open second chakras. And it's really interesting to think of that. You know, so you look at a bunch of, I've done a lot of work with Christian Brothers monks over the years. And you think, monks, you know, Christian Brothers, especially, you know, this one sect spends a lot of the time in silence. On the few times they talk, as they talk to me, which I don't know what kind of karma that is, but and yet these men have extraordinarily open second chakras, and they're, you know, and the image of the monk, of course, is no feeling, you know, pious up here, upper chakras. Well, these guys, they have these big vibrating second chakras, and this is something that, you know, they live alone, they live in this silence, they live in retreat, because it's real comfortable for them, you know? They don't. They make an effort not to bother each other. For them, it's like this dream come true. Gee, I'm living with people who all basically are concerned about the emotional vibrations they put out. Wow, that's great. For an open second chakra person who feels overwhelmed, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. It's like they go behind, they live in this big walled monastery. They go behind there in the walls and they sit there. And it's like, you can see it on their faces. And they talk about being there. They enjoy it. So remember, there's extremes. That party animal that's out there, you know, doing the limbo under the bar, and that monk that's sitting there, you know, praying the rosary with his beads, have open second chakras. Have open second chakras. Most people who do some kind, well, there are a lot of people with open second chakras who do work in health fields, because oftentimes, for example, second chakra is very good at diagnosis. If you sitting with someone who has a hard time understanding their own feelings, if you have an open second chakra, you can just be open to the vibrations their second chakra is putting out and let it come into you. What does it feel like? A good health professional that's trained themselves to not project their own energy can therefore say something like, you know, every time you talk about your dad, you don't raise your voice or anything, but you seem angry. And then somebody, all of a sudden, you can sometimes see that little light go on in someone's head. And that's because simply you were able to feel what was going on. They can be very good at diagnosing on a physical level at times, because if someone's sick and they don't know, no one can figure out what's wrong with them, your second chakra can mimic that sickness. It can literally take it into your body and say, this is what it is like to be this person. And you can then use the expertise you have to say, wow, my liver really hurts, or, you know, I feel there's this imbalance in this organ or that, and it can help in diagnosis. One of the problems with open second chakras is, and the mimic function, is that if you sympathize with a person and want to heal them, you can literally take the form of their disease on. And that happens actually quite frequently with people. If you find yourself, if you work in some kind of healing way with people and you find yourself obsessively thinking about a particular person and their health, the obsessiveness isn't helping them get better, and it may simply be reinforcing the pattern of whatever sickness they have in your body. Unfortunately, a lot of healers that I've known over the years who've been very successful working with cancers, unfortunately, have this tendency to get it, simply because they take in the form so much that sometimes the body stops making a differentiation between, oh, this is just a form I'm taking in for this other person, and it literally provides the seed to things, provides the seed for cancers. And so people with open second chakras generally are people that benefit a great deal by meditation, by physical activity. For example, anything that has a rhythmic pattern, walking at a steady clip, running, swimming, all of these kind of things that require a rhythm and a coordination tend to help regularize the energy of the second chakra. They give it, in other words, a central pulse. They give it a central pulse around which the other things that are happening in your life can fall into place. This is part of the release of blues music. Most of blues music provides a pulse that provides a release of what we would consider negative emotions. It's one of those things that helps, that's very beneficial in that way. And see, other things about the second chakra that are interesting. I tend to think of the second chakra like water, because like water, it has it's one of those things that a lot of it, when we have too much water, literally it becomes disastrous. In other words, it can overflow. How can I say it? Well, here's a way to think of it. It's like the second chakra is like water, because just as when you can look into a lake and see your own reflection, literally, the second chakra is that way of reflecting, mimicking, if you will, the world around you. It tends to make changes. How can I say? If you have an open second chakra, you can have an ability to work like water, that is, very steadily on something. We tend in this culture to see people who are more of an emotional focus as more frivolous in some ways, and yet oftentimes these are people that get what they want, they simply don't get it right away. The water just drips, it just constantly moves. And as it does so, it tends to open up the passages that have been blocked. If you have an open second chakra, usually that's just what I've noticed over many years of readings, usually your maturity comes later in life. Like you getting what you want, whether it is the particular image of yourself or accomplishments in your life, tend to come later in your life. It tends to come later. In people, the second chakra, if someone has an open second chakra, another extreme that they have is they can be very good at sensing things. Most readers that you meet are second chakra readers. There are very few clairvoyants around who actually do readings. Most people that say they're clairvoyants actually read with their second chakra. They take in the vibrations of the person on an emotional level. And this is why, oftentimes if you watch someone, it's a clairvoyant working a crowd, you know, like they'll put someone on TV and they'll say, famous clairvoyant so-and-so. And someone stands up and says, I'm getting a job and I want to know whether I'm going to like it or not. And the person says, yeah, you're going to like this a lot. And what they're feeling the vibration of this person. They're getting a new job, and of course this person wants to like it a lot. You know, of course they want to like it a lot. So they're picking up that vibration. You'll notice that most of the time people that ask questions in these groups, they're always getting what they want. You know, am I going to meet someone? Yes, you're going to meet someone. Well, the vibration is there that says so. This is the second chakra. The second chakra, in other words, is good at picking up people's needs and desires. And this is why people with open second chakras generally are thought of as caregivers. Think of someone that, you know, think of a mom that has to learn to deal with a baby. Baby isn't very articulate. It has basically, that's its extent. So it's hungry, it's sleepy, you know, it's real. Most moms learn to open their second chakra. You know, you talk to most moms after a while, you know, and the kid's going, and the mom says, that means that he needs blank. And she does it, and he goes, and it calms down. And you go, wow, and it's second chakra. You can be, in other words, your second chakra can be a good interpretive tool of seeing what someone wants, but it isn't necessarily good at looking into the future of things. In other words, so you can say to me, I'm with this person, and am I going to be with this person forever? And I can look at you and say, well, I can tell you want to be with this person forever. But my second chakra really wouldn't tell me whether that is possible or not. That's something more that comes from the sixth chakra, more from the seventh chakra. But the second chakra is very good at discerning needs. It's a very good healing chakra, therefore. A good second chakra healer can sometimes walk into a case that doctors have been working on for a while and say, you know, what you really need is blah, 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 and the person will say, that's exactly what's been in my mind. That's exactly what's been in my mind all this time. And so many times people with open second chakras can seem to be very, they seem very tuned into you. Because we tend to identify as human beings with our wants and needs. So someone that knows what they are is dialed into us. Now, how can I say it to you? We are more than our wants and needs, but I'd ask you to think in your own life, the people that you think are really dialed into you, that really know you, do they know you, or do they simply know what your wants and needs are? I'm not saying it's bad. I'm simply saying this says something about your interpretation, your idea of who you are. And so I ask you just to think about that. It's one of the things to think about with the second chakra. Second chakras can be very sensitive. They can also be fooled easily. One problem with people with open second chakras usually is that they can be very gullible, because if someone deliberately tries to manipulate by putting out, most people who are con artists have a way of putting out a strong emotional vibration. You can trust me. You'll make $1 million. Greed is an emotional vibration. Most people respond to greed. So if someone wants something from you, so say you're in a bar, and you're drinking Scarlett O'Hara's and you're waiting, for Mr. or Ms. Wright to come through the door. And somebody who's looking for a good time that night looks at you and has an open second chakra and says, I know what this man or this woman wants to feel, that what vibration will make them trust me. And there are people that will literally turn that vibration on, put it out to you. And you feel it, and it's like, gee, this man, this woman seems to fulfill everything I've ever wanted to see in a person. And you go home with them that night, and then next day they're gone. Second chakra person just says, I'm so stupid, I shouldn't believe people. Well, it's really hard not to believe people when your whole energy system is being flooded with exactly what you want to hear. Older people with an open second chakra at times tend to be a little bit, not cynical, but very wary. Very wary. They've had lifetimes of people, trying to kind of snow them with certain energy, and so they tend to look in askance. And that's why some of you, one of the hardest parts about finding love later in your life is that since you've run through the different kind of scams there are a number of times, if someone comes along and really does love you, how do you know the difference? How do you know the difference? How do you know the difference between someone that just wants, the pleasure of your company for the evening and someone that says, well, I can love you forever? Because both people can put out the same vibration to you. So it makes it oftentimes very difficult, especially when you get older and you've been through the mill a few times and seen what people can do. So remember your second chakra. Open second chakra can be very, very gullible. And again, look at the contrast. Very sensitive, can tell what the needs are, can tune into people, know what's going on one hand, and yet on the other hand can be very easily fooled. Second chakra is frustrating that way. It says, you can know anything and you can be so sensitive to it that you can detect all the subtleties of it, and then you can know absolutely nothing. Second chakra people are oftentimes frustrating to others because they seem inconsistent. So a second chakra person can seem, in one kind of emergency, can be very confident right there, take care of business, and then a moth can come in the house and it can send him into a screaming fit. Depending on their responses. And so I want you to see that second chakra people are usually very attractive, because the second chakra, as I say, is the place where you experience the world in a very direct way. Someone with an open second chakra literally makes your world larger. It makes your world larger. Most of us have had some kind of relationship where the person, we were with someone that made us do things, and we would do things with them that we wouldn't do with other people. We wouldn't do with other people. Come on, let's kayak down this whitewater river. It's only a level 5. You can do it. Even though you've never been in a raft before, it doesn't matter. Come on, you can do this. Open second chakra with some person, you feel their vibration, says, you can trust me, and you do it. And other people that didn't have that, you wouldn't do it at all. Open second chakra. A lot of another myth about the second chakra is that people with of the second chakra are, well, the only word I can think of it is very girly. In other words, they're very that the negative connotations that are usually connected with in the old days with girls, like it's like a giggly, it's not focused, it's always responding one way or another, it has no real direction, it needs a man to give it direction, something manly. Well, it's a real myth. You ever go down you ever gone down a river with a guide, a man or a woman? They have some of the biggest second chakras you can imagine because they have a whole boatload of people there who are all, in some ways, scared shitless, because they're just going to drop down this rapid. And they're relying on you just as much as you're relying on them to keep everything going. And so they're putting out this huge second chakra vibration that says, it's okay, we can handle this, let's go. And this person may, may look like, someone on the cover of Field and Stream, this big bulked up man or woman, who's just like, I've faced the universe and I'm tough. Someone you never think of as, oh, they have an open second chakra, but they do. And that's one of the problems that oftentimes we think is because we have this prejudice that says the second chakra is somehow this weaker chakra, people that look strong, we don't consider that they have it. So if you're a very capable, very strong person, for example, it can be very easy for you to, sorry, for very easy for people to look and say, well, geez, she's the kind of woman that can chew nails, so nothing would ever hurt her or bother her, and so I can be insulting to her. Or I don't have to be as careful around her as I would have to be around some of them kind of more girly women, that everything you say insults them, And it's like, well, we mistake the idea that someone's strength, that their second chakra isn't open, that it's more like the stereotype of men's second chakras used to be, which is people that, hold in their emotions or people that have a great, put a lot of structure on their emotions about when they can let them out and how they can let them out. And so just because someone looks to you like the reincarnation of Xena or something like that, it doesn't mean that they don't feel and that you can hurt them by saying something, by some chance remark or some insulting energy that you put out. And just remember that, because it's one of the great mistakes we make in this culture. Somehow we associate feelings with weakness, and yet it's people that face their feelings that are oftentimes the strongest. It's that person, that guy that's gone down that river and said, gee, I thought I was going to die a number of times and I faced it and gone through it. That's the person that you tend to trust when you're going down when you're going down the river and going down the waterfall and saying, well, this guy says it's okay, so here we go. You tend to trust that person. You say they face their emotions and they say we can do this, and we do it. And so there's this tendency to think of the second chakra as weak. It is not. It is not. It's a very sensitive chakra. It's a chakra that has a great deal of possibilities. We're always trying to find the right balance between something that's emotionally responsive and responsive and interactive, and something that protects us too. I mean, we don't want to be running out and expressing every emotion that we have, or pushed from one side to another by every emotion. So we're always trying to find some balance that allows us to feel, you might say, but not feel at the same time. In other words, I want to be able to be sensitive to the love that is shown to me, but I don't want that sensitivity, therefore, to make me somebody that, every little thing that happens that is annoying to me, I have to make a big reaction to it. So we're always trying to make some kind of balance with us, with the second chakra. Most people are fiddling with it most of the time. It's just one of those. It's just one of those things. People fiddle with it all the time. In sexuality, the second chakra is extremely important because that's where that idea of merging comes from. That idea of melting together. So if your second chakra can take on the vibration, if you will, the love of one person, and theirs will take on your love, essentially the chakras begin to merge together, and you begin to lose sight of yourself and the other person. Have you ever had that experience of, how can I explain it? People with open second, people who have a real open second chakra and are merged with some people, may sound like an odd thing, but when they, it's as if you, if when you go out of your body and you look at yourself, or when you feel yourself in your body, it's literally like you feel the, like that other person. From a visual level, I can think of my own experience. If I'm real in love with someone on a visual level, I can it literally feels like their body is superimposed on mine, that both are one right on top of the other. That's a real, what a real merged second chakra is like. If you've ever had an experience of being with a partner and, you know, you're very close and you can feel the air that they're breathing, and you can, you feel that you're breathing in the same breath, that you're literally sharing the same breath, that is second chakra merging. The second chakra allows you to know what it is like to be the other person, that mimic function, so they can be you and you can be them. And, you know, for human beings, to give up your identity and to be someone else is quite a gesture of love. I mean, we're all real attached to our identity, and all of a sudden to say, you, my darling, you are the one that makes me want to give up my identity, and be, whoa, especially because they want to be you. Now think about it. Someone wants to be you. Most parents get a charge when their kid says, I want to grow up, mommy, and be just like you. It's like a charge that parents get. Well, lovers get that too. I want to be you. It's worthwhile to be, you know, to be in your body. Whoa, it's quite compelling, quite compelling. The second chakra sensitizes us to touch, as you probably have figured out in your life. It sensitizes your touch. And it usually, the second chakra usually has strong channels to the, through the arms and into the hands. If you don't have those channels, your sense of touch will be off. In other words, if you touch someone that you care about, if your second chakra is open, you will literally feel the flow of energy from that person down the arm into the chakra. You'll feel the emotion from that person flow through you. If you, a lot of people who have blocks in their hands, they touch something and it's literally, it's almost as if they can't feel you at all. It's really a fascinating, it's really fascinating to do that. So if your second chakra is closed, in other words, your sense of touch and the pleasure you get from it is pretty low. When you have people, when you yourself are in that mood where you say, don't touch me, it can mean first that your second chakra, that your second chakra is closed down, it is limited, or it can mean that it's so open that it can't stand it. Again, there's an extreme there. You know, there's always an extreme in the second chakra. Second chakra is a good example of how every form, every energy form that there is, how can I say it, is bound together by extremes. So if you have an energy form that says, on one side, I'm very sensitive, the other side of it can easily be, I'm not sensitive at all. So, in other words, if someone tells you, you know, I'm really sensitive, extremely sensitive to other people's emotions, I believe them. But I also know that it's extremely possible for that person to have not a clue of what I'm feeling at the moment. It's extremely possible. And it's not denying that they're, you know, that they have the openness. It's just that you know that the nature of the second chakra is that you can be so sensitive that you miss it, that you just miss what's going on. You can be so sensitive that there's a part of you that says, I don't want to feel anymore, and literally you won't. You won't. Because the second chakra is connected with touch, physical violence that has happened to you will tend to make its mark in the second chakra, unfortunately. So if someone basically beats you, you know, hurts you, rapes you, abuses you in some physical way, unfortunately the pattern of blockage will tend to wind up in the second chakra, literally blocking out the feeling. In other words, the blocking out the ability to feel. So, in other words, if someone touching you becomes a pattern that says, someone touches me, it's going to hurt me, the second chakra will develop a pattern that says, when something is touching you, you don't feel it. You don't feel it. And so then when you try to deal with the abuse and you get older and you find yourself in love with somebody and your lover touches you, you can say, I can tell that he or she loves me. I can, in my mind, I can see it. They tell me that, I believe it, but I don't feel it. And there's usually some kind of violence behind that. Violence really takes a toll, especially with kids. It's always important to remember that anytime you hit a child, remember that you're banging them in the second chakra, that you're literally teaching them that their second chakra is a place of pain. And this, some kids get past this, and some kids don't. And the kids that don't generally are blocked off on a feeling level. And the problem with being blocked off on a feeling level is usually that person craves to feel. And so being human nature says, if a light touch doesn't make you feel anything, maybe a smack will. And so unconsciously you begin to seek out the abuse again. And so the pattern of abuse can oftentimes be really hard to break simply because you're trying to feel. You're saying, I was robbed of my feeling. I want to feel again. I need something in the body to break through this. And sometimes it just makes you encounter violence. Sometimes it will make you also encounter someone that's just willing to love you and love you and love you until it goes away. In other words, they'll say to you, my love for you is stronger than the abuse you've been through. It's stronger than the experience of hatred that you've had. And so, that works too. That is part of it too. So before you sanctify raising any kind of hand to anybody else, I would ask you to think about that, to think of the fact that it really makes a mark on the second chakra. You're literally, anytime you limit the second chakra, you're limiting someone's ability to experience the world in a physical way. In other words, you're limiting their ability to fully experience being human. Being human is about having a physical form. So you're denying them their humanity. And that's why, and I think rightly so, that our society has focused on different kinds of violence and abuse over the years and said, this just can't go on. We can't have this kind of violence, towards people, It's something that many people say, it's too much of a sensitivity, but quite frankly, it's not enough. We need to realize that, it's the disregard we have for one another that makes our experience of being human much less. And so, it's something that I encourage you to, just from a human point of view, the idea of supporting nonviolence and everything really, it's one of the few things I found that makes sense all the time. Violence just begets the need for more violence to break it down, to break down the barriers it puts up. War is always a constant. It's just a constant back and forth of different kinds of violence. Someone attacks, they hurt, they create violence. So in order to get over the violence, they have to be attacked in return, and each person keeps beating on the other one with extreme force. It keeps building up. Violence is something we can do without, and if we tend to value the second chakra more, if we tend to value our ability to feel more, which is something that is somewhat made fun of in this culture, but yet I think is very valuable, we can have a culture that's ultimately a less violent culture. Remember that it's not, Ramadan once told me, he said, it's not enough to simply be nonviolent. In other words, never to raise your hand to someone or never to hit someone. But in your heart, you must be nonviolent. You must have this ability to not, you might say, not throw your will around in the world. There needs to be a part of you that is willing to take the violence out of your heart. Like, in other words, to not say, like, not to have that part of you that says, I'd like to strangle this person. And to literally, you know, to, so most of us would say, well, I felt like strangling that person, so I didn't, so I'm cool. Well, that's one level. But there's another level that says, let's get rid of that urge to strangle the person. Because if you have that violence in your heart, it's just the same as having the violence around you. And so I just, it's something I would ask you just to consider that, to consider. Violence is one of the things that has retarded human growth, I think, the most over the many centuries. Okay, let me look at something else. A few more thoughts on sexuality. Remember, when you merge in terms of sexuality, the other person's energy system is pouring into yours, and therefore who they are and what they've been, and their problems go into you and your problems go into them, as well as your joys and triumphs and etc. So remember that most people are taken away by the moment of unity, but it's very hard for them to sustain it. You know, most people have one situation where they say, gee, I wish we could remain this way forever. You know, they feel very bonded, and yet most people can't, simply because at some point they start to say, gee, this person's lack of confidence in himself is now in me, and I feel it. You know, I feel it inside of me. And so we generally tend to want to start kicking out the undesirable habits that we found of the other person after a while, and eventually we just kick everything out, and then we say, gee, I feel apart, and then boom, we come together again, and we merge our energies, and the process starts all over again. Most couples that I've observed go through that kind of process. They're together, they feel the connection, they begin slowly to realize that the energies of the other person are in them, they like it, then they realize that it means that everything is there, and all the things they don't like about that person are in them too. So they say, well, just move that out. And once they start, everybody just starts separating, until finally you're back to being who you were, and your partner's back to being who he or she was, and now you're two separate people again, and you say, gee, it seems like we've drawn apart, and then you pull together again. And that is what, for most people, is relationships. The idea of being connected, being merged all the time, is quite a fascinating one. I have yet to see people that can maintain that on a daily basis. But it is, I do believe it is possible, if that is the ideal that you have. But I just say, the only reason I bring all this up is that most relationships have a natural drift together and drift apart in them that is part of them, and not some sign that the relationship should be flushed down the toilet. And so if you drift apart and stay apart and are comfortable apart and, you know, in fact, look for ways to make more space from each other, yes, then there are problems. But most people, they come apart until they say, wow, we're apart, and then they draw together again. And then they slowly drift out, draw back, drift out, draw back. Second chakra is a chakra that is very hard to give, does not really give you any rest, because it's always doing something. One of the hardest things in meditation is to stop the second chakra from reacting to what's around it. Because, and I'm saying reacting, I'm not saying that it stop it from processing it. In other words, to have it block out vibrations. I'm saying when it feels the vibration that says, well, there's a vibration around me. You can see it a lot of times when people come here and meditate. You know, everybody's sitting here and they're trying to be good, you know. You know, and then, like, there's always somebody that's, like, cracking something. You know, like, they're cracking their wrist or something, you know. And then, you know, you can, now this vibration's going out in the room. Like, I'm not, so you can't sit there and say, It doesn't exist. They're not doing it. I don't feel it. If I don't see it, they're not doing it. If I don't feel it, they're not doing it. No. You know, that's one way of that people approach it. But your second chakra is reacting to it. In other words, if there's a part of you that's saying things like that to yourself, you're already reacting to it. You're not meditating, so don't worry about it. You're not missing anything. You're sitting there reacting. You're trying to sit still in a room. Sitting still in a room with a group of people is not meditation. It's discipline. There's something, meditation is very different. Meditation is when you can sit there, your second chakra can register an energy that says, the person next to me is feeling real uncomfortable, and that's it. Not, and that is bad because they're sitting next to me and they're a pain, or, and that is bad because they had something gross for lunch and I can smell it, or, you know, all the other things that all the other responses that we have, you know, or, oh, I just wanted to hold them, and I just wanted, during the meditation, I just wanted to come over and hold you. Well, you know, this is not, you know, this is, you're not in meditation either. You're sitting in a room full of people trying to be good. Meditation is when things can just come into you. Meditation is not a state of being blank. Meditation is a very fully aware state. It is simply a non-reactive state. That's what I would ask you to think of. It's a non-reactive state. It doesn't say, oh, I block out in my mind that, boy, it really smells in here. It simply really smells in here. That's all. It's different. You might say the difference is it stinks in here to, boy, there are a lot of smells in here. And even if you let it go at a certain point, pretty soon you'll find that the second chakra is a very basic chakra. It is not prone to talking a lot, even though people with open second chakras, there are a lot of them that do tend to talk a lot. That's usually due to a fifth second chakra connection, which is very different. Second chakra is usually very basic. Second chakra, usually, it's if you really just let it go to its basic point, we'll just say, smell, presence, heat, cold. It really doesn't do more than that. It's really very basic. We're the ones that say, God, it's hot in here. Or, God, why do they always have the heat off in here? It's so cold. That's reaction. Second chakra is just going, heat, cold, heat. Sweat, smell. Very, very basic. Very, very basic. What I'm going to offer you in terms, we can obviously go on about the second chakra forever. But what I would like to do is I'd like to offer you some basic meditations for just gaining back the ability of the second chakra to perceive, to register information. I also want to give you a few things to do to clear out the emotions in the second chakra, to clear out energy forms in the second chakra, whether those energy forms are emotional forms you've taken on from someone else, whether they are the sum total of all your wisdom of the world, which you're tired of, whether you're simply in a very emotional situation with very emotional people and you need to keep, you know, you need to keep your balance in the matter. So I want to offer you some meditations that you might say help you to have that meditative second chakra which perceives but does not judge. It really doesn't react. Yeah, there is one more final thing to say about it. You could do a whole series of classes on the relationship of children and their parents and the chakras, but I just ask you to remember that as little kids, you had a very strong emotional response to the world. It became obvious to all of you that sometimes it was appropriate and sometimes it wasn't. Being decent kids, most of you tried to figure out what was what, and in doing so made a cord from your second chakra to the second chakra of your parent, either one or both of them. So in other words, literally what your mother was feeling, you were feeling. This is why some of you felt like you were 40 years old by the time you were six, because you were feeling what it was like for mom or what it was like for dad, you know, to be who they were. And I ask you just to consider that, because some of you have real strong aversion now to being around your parents precisely because as children you spent so much time absorbing their emotion, trying to figure out what their emotion was, because, you know, you were trying to know what it was like to be an adult. This is the adult you know and trust. This is the key, obviously. These people know how to be adults. So what are they doing? So you make this cord. A cord makes that everything that person feels, you feel, and vice versa. Now, that's a pretty tough arrangement. So, you know, when your mom is standing there yelling at you, and inside there's a part of you that is just feeling, you know, like really persecuted by it, remember that mom's feeling that too. And so sometimes she's, you know, at the same time she's yelling at you, she's crying inside because she's saying, wow, I'm really hurting this kid. And then sometimes she's getting even more mad because what right do you have to feel persecuted by this? I'm telling you what's right. And so there's this real emotional dynamic that usually occurs between parents and children. And most children who basically, when they leave home, get as far away as they can, are usually children who basically have had enough of that dynamic. Some children find that the emotional dynamic of their parent is very acceptable to them, and they get along fine. They feel like their mom felt or how their dad felt, and there are plenty of people that are like that. But there are a number of people who basically say, like, you know what, I had like 20 years of being mom, and I don't want to see her anymore. And I mention this because, in working with a lot of different people, a lot of people feel bad about that. They say, why did I want to be around my parents? And it's like, well, it was like being married to your mother for 20 years. It was like being married to your dad for 20 years, you know, that you lived at home. Why do you want to be around them now? In other words, you're pretty suffused with whatever energy you got from them. And you're going to stay away until you feel that your emotional responses respond more to your view of the world rather than theirs. Sometimes in that separation from parents, what you're seeing is you're just trying to get away from a world view that was expressed emotionally through the second chakra. You see this a lot of times when you visit parents and they're telling you a story that obviously upset them, something, and you're not upset. You know, and I have this with my mom all the time. She's, doesn't this upset you? And I said, no, it doesn't really. You know, like she will, like if sometimes she'll have problems with her sister, and they have a long history of my sister, her sister is just really kind of mean to her. And so I'll say to my mom, you know, Mom, ever since I've known you and your sister has been kind of mean to you, so why do you keep expecting that she's going to all of a sudden turn around and go, oh, I'm going to be, you know, Miss Kind and Gentle all the time. She's not going to be that way. And my mom can't understand it because she's hurt by it, and all she knows is she's hurt by it, and you don't feel that hurt. And it's very, it's hard sometimes because we have a general way of feeling connected with people is to feel what they feel. You know, like, what's his name, the president here, feeling our pain. You know, and we laugh at that, and we know it's ridiculous on one hand that he doesn't feel our pain, but the idea, the concept that someone feels our pain is very compelling to us. Someone likes us enough to be us. Because when you feel someone's pain, you're literally being them. Someone likes us enough to be us. Someone feels that being us isn't so bad. And so it can be hard on your parents sometimes when you just don't share the same anger that they share. And I don't think there's any hard, fast rule about it. Sometimes sympathizing with people helps them to ultimately see things differently. And sometimes not sympathizing with them makes them see things differently. So, you know, you can't say one side always works, the other side doesn't. You're really in a situation where each individual situation has to be taken one at a time. And that's one of the real annoying things that the second chakra teaches you, is that ultimately every situation is pretty unique. Every combination of vibrations, just like every musical composition, is very unique. And you can't really have a hard, fast rule of how to respond to everything, or else you will not get the full experience of it. And so the second chakra, if I could say, what does the second chakra ask? How does the second chakra ask you to transcend humanness? Is it asks you to transcend the idea of structure, the idea of the structure of your own experiences, that says, I know how to respond in this situation because I've responded in a certain way before and it's been successful. Second chakra says you can transcend humanness by just being in the moment, feeling the nuances of each situation as it is, rather than as it was once, you know, in another portion in your past. It's quite a challenge the second chakra presents. And I think that's one of the reasons why in this culture we constantly divert the second chakra. We have all sorts of things that give us a thrill. You know, just go to Las Vegas and watch people getting second chakra thrills, putting money into machines. It's amazing. Think about it. Take money, go to a machine, put money in machine, push button or pull lever on machine, emotional response. If you think about it, most of us would say, well, that's dumb. That's dumb. But it goes on all the time. Walk home, push button on TV, watch story, have emotional response. Have emotional response. This is where TV is where you separate true second chakra people from the rest. Because true second chakra people, you know, are watching like Sunday night TV, you know, and they have like stories that pull your heartstrings, you know, like Sunday night stories. It's always like someone loses a baby, someone finds their son. It's always some real heart-rendering thing. Second chakra people look at it and they go, oh, I'm so glad she found him and now they'll be happy. And the sixth chakra person says, it's a movie. It's a movie. The character don't exist. It's a movie. No kid was ever lost. It's a movie. It's a movie. It's just one of those great divisions in our society. It's one of those great divisions in our society. And the second chakra people are those that, you know, like they're watching a bit of theater, they're watching TV, they're at the movies, they're watching a play. And they're right there. They're in the moment. And in the moment, you know, this woman has lost her child and, you know, the father kidnapped it and they have to go away to Iran and get the kid back. And then they get the kid back and everything's great. Well, the second chakra says, this is right where we are. And it cries. Second chakra just accepts. This is a good thing to note about it. It accepts reality as it is. As it is. So if around us there's all these vibrations that pull at your heartstrings and say, cry, second chakra cries. The sixth chakra, however, loves to choose realities. It says, this ain't real. Look, it's a movie. It's a movie. I always have trouble sometimes watching TV because I try to watch TV from a very sick chakra perspective, because I watch TV for escapism rather than to interact with anything. And so I generally turn my second chakra off when I watch TV. So I just watch it. And so if I'm watching TV with Mary Frances, for example, and she'll be watching something, she'll say, what do you think this character is going to do? And what do you think is going to happen to him? And I say, I don't know. It's a movie. What do I care? I don't care what's going to happen to this person. You're asking me like this situation really exists and I can look in the future and see it. You know, and it's really funny because I can tell. It's like, yeah, my second chakra's off. You know, I have no sympathy for, you know, whatever is going on here. I'm just watching it. You know, with that sixth chakra way. I mean, sixth chakra people, if they're watching TV, it's like, it's all visual thing. You know, part of me says, wow, look at the colors. Boy, look at the cinematography there. Or, hey, look at that, women in you know, revealing clothing, that's nice, you know. You know, I just, you know, you just go all through all these kind of things, you know. And on one hand, you're watching with someone that's there like, it's so sad, it makes me want to cry. And I'm just there like, hey, good, the news is going to be on soon. I want to see what the weather's going to be. You know, this is almost over. It's you know, a second sixth chakra kind of thing. And, you know, we can have different modes. As I say, like, I usually actually keep a very open second chakra, but when I watch TV, it's like the whole point of TV, whatever my experience is, the whole point of TV is that it is a separation medium. It's not something you get involved with. It's something that you watch. You observe TV. You don't get involved with it. And so it's interesting because all my life I've been surrounded by people. Both my grandmothers like felt that TV was real, like it was real, and that Perry, especially Perry Mason, was real. And it was amazing because the just in the same way that they would talk about their husbands, and that, you know, and that they were things, they talk about Perry Mason, it was like you think that he's existed. And the second chakra is very good in terms of fantasy. It can make a fantasy world seem real. It's very real to the participants, and people with a strong second chakra usually can weave a good fantasy, and they are very good at creating spaces, therefore, so they can create a home space, and they can create that home space, whether it's one that realistically reflects everybody's feeling, or they can create a fantasy space that says everybody in the house is doing fine. Thanks for asking. You know? It's just, it's one of those, it's a talent that if you have it, you can do restaurant, you can create a restaurant with it, you can create a home with it, it creates an ambiance. When you think of ambiance, think of your second chakra. When you think of places that you feel welcome, hey, we're going here, we eat, we feel real comfortable here, that's the second chakra ambiance that someone has put out for you. Second chakra is really good at creating spaces. Most people enjoy marrying second chakra people because they create a space where this, you know, if this, assuming they love you, where something pleasant is going to happen, because they look at life and they say, well, I'm going to create this second chakra place where my partner and I, you know, are all very happy. And they do. And it can be very, very comforting, you know, especially if you're a very cynical person that says life is crap, et cetera, et cetera. Second chakra people are very good at opening you up to the idea of life may be crap, but you can create anything that you want. And that's what's annoying to most people about second chakra people. They insist that they can create their own reality. They know reality is situational, that it comes and it goes, and so they know that what they present in that reality is likely to be accepted by most people as real. And so they know that if we all sit down here and think positive thoughts, that things will seem more positive. They're right. They're right. And the sixth chakra person says, but they ain't more positive than they were 10 minutes ago. The second chakra person says it's not important. We feel more positive now, and second chakras pretty much say the more expansive you are, and what we think of as positive energy generally expands the second chakra. The more positive we are, the more expansive we are, the more we are apt to see the solution to our problem rather than just focusing on life is shit. This situation proves life is shit. Therefore, life is shit. And because the sixth chakra really likes to focus on one little thing and say, look at this. See? You know what this proves? This proves life is lousy. Second chakra just says, there are so many things to focus on. Why just focus on the negative? Can't you focus on the fact of the positive? Look at all the things you have to be thankful for. The second chakras are right. They're right. Every situation contains millions of components which the second chakra is able to feel and say, these are good. It can be very non-discriminating in that way, at least to the sixth chakra. Sixth chakra believes in discrimination, yes and no. Second chakra says yes and no belong in the same room. They can sit next to each other at the table as long as they behave themselves. Sixth chakra says it's impossible. It's either yes or no. This is real, this is not. Second chakra says anything we say is real. We can build the kind of life that we want to. Most of you, when you've been down in the dumps, have met a second chakra person that's inspired you, that said, you can do whatever you want. You can build a life, whether with me or by yourself, you can build a life that you want. I feel it. Anyone with a good second chakra who is good at projecting energies with their second chakra can be very inspirational. You can do it. They literally put energy out to other people. If you're in a supervisory position where you have to take care of other people doing work, many times you can be emotionally exhausted at the end of the day because you've spent your day putting emotion in other people. It says, come on, we can do it. Or don't be upset about this. We'll get this done. Okay. And then you go home and your partner says, hi, honey, how you doing? Don't touch me. Your emotion, because you've been using your second chakra all day. You want a break. You want to talk. You want to think. You want to read books. You want to be mentally stimulated. And your partner's there like, gee, you look beautiful tonight, honey. Let's... And, you know, honey, you know, whatever sex he or she is going, mm-mm, leave me alone all day, second chakra, no more. So those of you that have that kind of work, it's good to remember that you have to take the time. You literally are going to have to take a time and recognize that the second chakra exists for you, too. It's easy to get in the habit of thinking your second chakra exists for other people to make it easier for them and not for you. So it's something to keep in mind. Meditations we're going to do for the second chakra. First, because the second chakra is a feeling chakra, I'm going to ask you to basically to just take your left hand and place it about an inch below your navel, and I'm going to ask you just to focus on that left hand and breathe. And just to feel the vibrations that start to come out of that chakra. It's one of the few chakras that you can sense right away, the second chakra. After we do that, I'm going to ask you to use an orange color and clear out the second chakra with an orange spiral. I'm going to ask you to see an orange spiral over the top of your head, to breathe it in. Inhale it all the way down to the second chakra, exhale it out through the front of the second chakra, breathe it back in, exhale it out behind the second chakra, take it back in, exhale it out to the left, breathe it back in, exhale it out to the right, and just to keep going through that pattern. The orange spiral sensitizes and clears the second chakra. It takes away the parts of us that literally deaden. We use energy forms oftentimes to deaden the second chakra. Literally, if you feel real bloated often in your abdominal area, sometimes we just have this way when we don't want to feel anymore of just filling it up with emotions that we've already felt, simply because emotion that's being held in a form tends to be heavy. It tends to reduce the responsiveness of the chakra. And so we have a heaviness that we feel there. This removes the heaviness. It helps you to feel again, which some of you may say, well, I don't really know if I want to do that or not. Feelings denied generally tend to work themselves out on a physical level, unfortunately. Many people who have strong feelings and deny them, it comes out in the skin of teenagers. You see this constantly. Teenagers are not really allowed to be emotional. And so you look at their skin, and their skin reflects it. You're prone to a lot of rashes, you're prone to a lot of breaking out. Essentially, you're dealing with a lot of emotion that you can't express verbally, and you have to bring it out on a physical level. If you have problems with your kidneys, you have stones in the kidneys, it has a lot to do with it. If you have irritation in through the bowels, oftentimes, there's a lot of emotion that your life says there's no room for. You can't have this. This is not part of your identity. Kidney stones especially come from unexpressed emotions. What else comes through there? Most diseases that involve irritation have a source in the second chakra. Generally, emotion that isn't expressed, and usually it's something that's not like happiness. Very few of you have this inner reserve of happiness that somehow you're not expressing and saving for some other occasion. Most of the time it's anger or some kind of hatred or something that goes on.
Because they are generally hotter emotions, they tend to irritate situations. So oftentimes, well, just as a general statement, most irritation things, things of the throat, irritations of the skin, even in the joints, arthritis, for example, oftentimes has a second chakra focus. If you work with on an energy level with people, many times flooding the second chakra with an orange color, for example, will relieve arthritic symptoms simply because it relieves the irritation that stored emotion can cause. So we're going to work with the spirals, all four ways, through the second chakra. Then I'm going to ask you to keep put your hand back on your second chakra, and I'm going to have you focus first on the tip of your nose and then on the sixth chakra at the center of the forehead. When you focus on the tip of your nose, it doesn't get rid of your emotions, but it simply places a priority on them. What is the most important now for you? So it's a way that, for example, if a lot of times I'll go from one situation to another. So if I'm doing a reading and there's a lot of issues that are really difficult and the person is really going through a lot of pain, you know, well, the next person that comes isn't the same as the person that's been there. And so me being a person who's just dealt with all this pain and who's still dealing with it is not really appropriate to the next person. But in order to work with that person, I can't forget how they feel. And so one of the things that I do is simply I'll focus on the tip of the nose. And all that does is it simply prioritizes the energies in the second chakra. So the priority becomes the person that's in front of me rather than, you know, trying to deal with the emotions of the person that was just here. And it helps basically just to, just to have it doesn't allow emotions to make you lose your focus, which, since a lot of times the work I do depends on focus, is very positive for me. So I can have emotions without them making me lose focus, and that's the focus on the tip of the nose does that. And then I'll have you focus on the sixth chakra, and this essentially will clear out any emotions that are there in the second chakra. It's just like wiping it clean. The spirals also do that, but the spirals work real specifically to open the chakra. I ask you to use the spiral simply because they widen the chakra, literally. It makes it physically a wider place. To focus on the sixth chakra while you have your hand on the second chakra essentially releases the emotions in the second chakra, takes them out of the energy system, takes them out of the body, gone. And I use that because sometimes, you know, for whatever reason, you know, you're full of emotion, you don't know what to do with it, and, you know, you say, well, I know I'm really, really upset, and so, okay, there's not much more we're going to do with that. Right now, if we're so upset that we can't see any particular idea of what to do, etc., sometimes the solution to something is just to accept who you are right at that moment. And if that's someone who's pissed off, then you're pissed off. This focus on the sixth chakra first creates that acceptance, and then after that acceptance it says, well, you've acknowledged what this emotion is. There's no sense in having to repeat it over and over to yourself, and so it allows it to leave. So it clears away emotion. And I find that that's helpful. Because I don't like to, for example, I don't like to bring emotions that I might have in a working environment to my house. You know, my partner's not, you know, part of that, part of what's created the emotion. I just don't believe in bringing that over. And so when I want to, when I have to transfer from one thing to another and I need to simply let go of an incident, I use this particular form, and it takes things right away. And it's the only problem with this meditation is that it'll make you realize how attached you are to how you feel. Because you'll feel yourself fight the energy form that just simply lifts this up. Because when I give you a meditation to do, I'm giving it to you from the point of view of it's a form that you introduce into you that allows whatever is inside of you to change, or in this case, to leave. And so the form is just very mechanical. You put in the form, whoosh, it's like, you know, putting in the sump pump, turning it on, takes the water out. That's it. Sump pump has no moral basis. Meditation has no, you know, right and wrong moral basis. It just simply is a way of working with your energy. And if you, you'll find that you might want to make it personal. You'll find that you say, no, wait, I deserve to be angry about this. Or wait, I don't want to forget about this. This really hurt me. Well, they're the things that you're identifying with. And the question I would ask you is, why would you identify with pain? If I asked most of you, you'd say, I want to be happy. I don't want to be painful. I don't want to be sick. Then why do you identify with it? And that's something that everybody has to face for themselves. I would suggest to you that we believe in suffering. If we're suffering, it's real. If it's not, we're not. We're not suffering. What we're going through isn't real. Just think of how many people, when they talk about their relationships, say, we've been together, we've had a lot of hard times. You know, you get these old people on here, you know, that have been married like for 50 years, and they're like, oh, we've had a lot of hard times, but we stuck together. You know, you can tell it's like this it's like the edge, that resistance that's making people feel that what they had is real. Do you need that? Do you need that? Do you need resistance to let yourself know that you're experiencing life? A real practical way of saying is, do you need to fight with your partner and make up with him or her to know that you love them? Can you just love them? Those of you that like to fight a lot, I ask you to think about that. This part of you is just proving that you love them because of the resistance. Suppose you didn't need that. Suppose you could just love them. Really interesting. So when you focus on the sixth chakra in this one pattern that we're going to do, you'll find that it takes away the emotion. It gives you a chance just to be what you want to be. And you may find that many times what you want to be is angry. But it's good to face that about yourself, because sometimes we spend a lot of time, a lot of effort, and quite frankly, a lot of money trying to say, I don't want to be angry anymore. And in reality, you do. And unless you basically admit it and then say, okay, I'm working with an angry person, not much is going to change. You're just going to fight against the part of you that doesn't want to change. So I want to do these meditations with you before we go. Give you something to chew on.
And I want you to pick a hand. You can use either your left or your right hand, but I'd like you to pick a hand. And to place that hand about an inch below your navel point. Well, just let it lay on that point for a minute. The second chakra, remember, responds to touch. So when you touch it, the second chakra starts to find a center, a focus. Because it's very expansive, the second chakra can oftentimes just kind of bleed all over the energy system. When you touch it like this, it gets a focus. That's why most open second chakra people like to have a lover in their life. It gives them a focus, someone whose emotions are more important than everyone else's. Just breathe underneath that hand. Try to push it up as you breathe in. As you breathe in, let your stomach expand. As you exhale, feel it contract. Now move your hand about an inch away from your abdomen. And just continue to focus on the abdominal area. And as you exhale, just try to feel the energy as it's coming right out from the abdomen and as it's passing through your hand. It's really easy to feel with the second chakra. It can literally feel like a wind is passing through your fingers or passing by your hand. Touching the second chakra, putting your hand in it like you're doing now, just gives it a focus. And the focus is you. Many of you can notice that there's a quality to the energy that's going by your hand. It's hot, or it's cool, it's wet, or it feels dry. It feels like air. Some of you could feel like water. See over your head an orange spiral of color, and with your first inhalation, just breathe it down, down around your spine, right to the second chakra area, then exhale it through your abdominal walls. Let it feel it go past your hand. See if you can feel it as it goes past your hand. Then breathe it back in through the front of you. Feel it go past your hand again. Feel it on the back of your hand. Then exhale it out behind you. Breathe it back in, exhale it out to the left side. And then the right side. And return and just keep doing that pattern for a bit. Out the front of the second chakra, then out the back, and out the left, and out the right. Notice what kind of images come up. If you start seeing the image of a person's face or start thinking of someone in particular, you probably have a second chakra cord with that person. Not always, but probably. It may be simply some past energy that you are not finished with, so you store the memory there. So it's not always a cord, but most of the time it is. The spirals simply will remove them. And part of removing a cord is making known who's on the other end. So if someone comes out, just let them come out. You don't have to throw them out or anything. You don't have to tell them to go. Just let the spirals do the work. A lot of you carry a lot of you might say what you don't like about yourself in your sacrum area. And this is one of the reasons why we take the spiral out behind you. Clears the sacrum. Some of you will notice that the room, there's a certain relaxation in the room when second chakras are open that wasn't here before, when each of you were more individualized. Second chakra promotes unity. We're all in this together. It feels everything. Therefore, it's one of the first places you can realize the connectedness of all things. If you can open your second chakra, you'll feel a connectedness to the situation, even if your previous experience doesn't tell you you should feel that way. Let your hand touch your second chakra, the skin, the abdominal area again. Open your eyes slightly and focus on the tip of your nose. All this does is essentially say to your second chakra, settle down. We can sort out all these emotions one by one. Let's make a priority of what we want to work on first. So this position, for example, is one where when you feel simply besieged by a lot of people whose needs are important to you, and you're wondering how to get it all done, what to approach first, what role to take. This position allows you, just by holding it, you don't even have to say, okay, now I have to order my life, but just simply hold this position, and it allows the second chakra to make a natural priority, to have those things that need to be dealt with first come up to the front, and those things which need to go on the back burner, so to speak, let them go. Let them go on the back burner. When you have a hard time focusing on the nose, it's usually because you don't want to deal with any of these things. Sometimes we just don't want to deal with emotion at all. So prioritizing it doesn't help. So if it's real uncomfortable for you to do this, just consider that you just might not want to deal with the emotion at all, and that the next meditation we'll do will be more to your liking. Because it'll just be like erasing the blackboard. Those of you that want to add a real adventure to this, as I talked about last time, imagine your hand going into the area of your first chakra and reaching in and squeezing the tip of your spine while you're focused on the tip of your nose. When you can feel that vibration, in other words, when you squeeze it, when you can feel as if someone's squeezing your nose, when you're imagining squeezing the tip of your tail, the whole channel of the chakra system is open. All the channels are open. It's one of those interesting little things that come out. And with your next exhalation, move your focus upward to the center of your forehead. This is a release position. keep the one hand touching the second chakra until you get used to the second chakra and used to having it focused. It's better to use the hand. Second chakra responds to touch. It immediately enjoys your hand. It enjoys your own touch. When you're in this position, the second chakra is emptying out all of the energy forms that are in it. Even the programming you have is starting to be lifted out. If you stay in this position, if you practice this position every day, it eventually relieves you of the programming that you have in your second chakra, which sounds good until you realize that it's sometimes what keeps you from standing up and work and throwing your coffee cup across the room and trying to hit your boss or something with it. So remember that not all liberation is what it's cracked up to be. Sometimes liberation is an acceptance rather than an expression of what was hidden. As I said earlier, if it's difficult to hold this position, you identify with the emotion that's in you. You don't want to give it up. Give it up for a minute. We'll let you have it all back. Have a special storage facility right above the ceiling. When you feel ready, just drop your eyes back to your second chakra, back to where your hand's touching. See if you feel any sense of space there. Looking around the room, this is a meditation that most of you would like, would open up the second chakra of all of you. So take a breath now and start your inhalation right now. And breathe in. Now come to a hold in your breath. Clench the rectum as if you're pulling it upward with a string. And pull your stomach in as if you're trying to touch your navel to your spine. Then release. Push your stomach out as you exhale. And try it again. Breathe in. Hold. Clench the rectum. Pull the spine. Pull the navel back to the spine. Hold that for a moment and release. Try it one more time. Breathe in. Hold. Clench the rectum. Flatten the tummy against the spine. Hold it a bit longer this time. Feel the tension that's there. Then release. A lot of you enjoy tension. It means you're doing something. So. Well, just breathe. Just breathe in that area now. especially if you feel the space around you, especially around your hips. I'm going to ask you to chant the syllable HUM at the tip of your spine, at the first chakra, and AH right about an inch below your navel point. The AH is especially good for expanding the second chakra. Take a breath. HUM Notice on the AH how there's this certain sense of almost traveling along, the certain sense of it being an expansive pulse that just continues. When you have that sense of being in a pulse that is pulling you along, it just has its own rhythm to it. Your second chakra is open and expanding. I just want you to feel for a minute, just to feel the emotion around you. Whatever you've opened up, feel what's different. What emotions are you aware of now? Or what vibrations are you aware of now? You may find that you're aware of the emotions of the person next to you, or all of a sudden you may notice that there's a spider on the ceiling. Finally, I'd ask you to remember that your second chakra enriches your life. It enriches your experience of life. When we close it down and limit it, we're generally in some ways punishing ourselves, saying we don't deserve to fully experience life. And I ask you to just think of why you need to punish yourself. Do you really learn by being punished? If so, that's fine, but do you really learn by being punished? most of you would say, no, I want to learn a different way. So instead of punishing yourself by limiting your second chakra, do these exercises and open it up. And what you'll find is that you give yourself more of life rather than less. Don't be afraid to see yourself as someone worthy to enjoy your time on this planet. Most of us think reality is somehow negative, and yet reality can just as well be joy as sorrow. My blessings to all of you. Namaste.